today on Real Radio.
I actually would honor the fact that he is your husband. Yeah, but he's not a non-believer. Well, listen, I would honor God by honoring him. And it may be that by your disciplined conduct and by your love for him and respect for him, you might win him to Christ.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called Real Marriage. It's a series that takes a break from the norm to discuss the definition of marriage in an interview setting. God ordained marriage, so it's important to spend time on God's plan for coming together as one. Today, Pastor Jack, his wife Lisa, and myself, David Jay, will be answering questions on marital topics that have been discussed so far in this series. From fostering a spiritual life together to handling money issues, all those subjects will be covered, along with the subjects of forgiveness and intimacy. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Hey, Pastor Jack and Lisa, we've got four different things that we'd like to cover today, category-wise. How do we foster a spiritual life together? How do we deal with money? How do we deal with forgiveness in our marriage? There's a big one. And intimacy in our marriage. So let's jump to the first one. How do we foster a spiritual life together? First question. How do we foster a spiritual life together when husband and wife have opposite work schedules? You ever run into that?
That's a tough one. I talked to a woman who they honestly see each other on Sunday. Their schedules are completely opposite. They have all kinds of issues, and that's a tough one. I mean, something has to give, because you can't really build a foundation or a family, for that matter. They're not even parenting at the same time. Everything is two ships passing. You know, he picks up, she drops off, and he goes to work, she's coming home. He gets home, she gets up. I mean, it's absolutely crazy until Sunday. So they even work off days during the week. So that's a very difficult thing. Now, that's an extreme situation. It's still going to be a work in progress. You're still going to have to sit down and find some compromising ways to make it work. And it's going to be really tough. But I would actually pray that God would arrange a different work schedule, either a different job or a different schedule. But if you want to have a strong family, then there's got to be some give and take on that.
I would add to that, while you're praying, don't underestimate God's grace to get you through that in the meantime. Mm-hmm. Look, you know what? We could paint ourselves into a corner where we are defeated before we ever get a chance to take off in this. You know, husband and I, or the wife and I, we're in opposite ends of the clock, and we want to have a spiritual home, but we never see each other except on Sundays. Wow. I would first of all take a huge deep breath and relax, knowing God's grace. Don't hold yourself to some insane standard that God's not even holding you to. And I love what Lisa just said a moment ago. Ask if it's God's will to get you out of that situation, to get you guys on the same schedule, if at all possible. Now, what if it's not possible? I mean, I'm looking around here, and I'm not going to point out exactly, but let's say we have an airline pilot in the room, which we do. That's a tough schedule. That's a weird schedule. You're going to have to work the best you can and flex things. You're going to have to change things up. Our son-in-law is a LA County fire paramedic. Crazy schedule. They've got to change things up. Look, we have holidays on days that are not even the holiday because of his schedule. And then ministry. We're involved in ministry. We've got to change things. The holidays for us is really, for us, it's pure ministry. And we have Christmas on some other day. We have, you know, whatever it is on some other day of the week. You have to flex. But please approach it with grace. Don't get on some path of total destruction. You'll hyperventilate and pass out because you feel like you're walking outside of God's will. Let God change it. He's more than able to change it.
Amen. You talk about flex, and I have to brag here slightly. Jack, you like to fly airplanes. I like to fly airplanes. My wife likes to ride horses.
I hate horses. I'll fly upside down from here to Boston, and I'm fine.
Yeah.
Get me near a horse, and I can't take it.
I don't like horses.
No, she asked me this morning, she said, will you go ride horses with me?
No.
Everything in me said no.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ride horses with you. But she flew in my airplane last week, so that's the deal.
Oh,
I'm gonna have to go ride a horse.
Yep.
But it's a flex thing, and I'm not saying I'm willing to do it, but for my marriage, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. An airplane doesn't have a mind.
Good point.
But a horse... I don't like being near an animal that's smarter than me.
What is, sticking with this subject of how do we foster a spiritual life together, what is a daily routine for cultivating a spiritual life together? Can you give some practical examples? Is it Bible reading? What is it?
Yeah, I mean, look, one size does not fit all, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to find that for your own home. But for Lisa and I, it's a routine. I can honestly say, correct me if I'm wrong, but we hit this probably 4 to 5 times a week. And that is, I get up first, I go into my room, and I'm with God. And I have my personal routine. What's nice is Lisa wakes up. I'm smiling because I'm going to really.
You're going to bust her. Right?
No, I'm going to bust her.
Yeah.
Oh no.
So she'll wake up and she'll wake up and she kind of, you know, I don't know she's awake yet, but she's coming around or whatever. And you know where I'm going?
No.
And so with her, I bought her this antique bell. And it's right alongside. You know the hotel bell when you go into the hotel, ding ding.
And the keywords. Were no,
should you guys be knowing
no,
this?
No, keywords were
what?
You made me buy
yes,
it.
I did.
Yes.
No, I did.
This was not my idea, so keep going.
It's a great idea, though. So I got her this bell because when it's time for me to come into the bedroom for a step for our devotion time or coffee, she'll ding that thing. And you might say, Jack, you're a wimp, man, that's horrible. It's awesome. It's awesome because I'll go, and here's what we do. We'll get into the daily Bible reading together. We really like, after that, we really like A.W. Tozer's Daily Devotions. And then we read Charles Spurgeon's Morning and Evening Devotion for that day, right? And then we pray together. And we have an acronym that maybe some of you know, ACTS. Mm-hmm. And so we approach God with adoration and we confess, we confess our sins. And by the way, this is great for marriage, to hear one another. Talk to God. We'll be laying in bed. She's talking to God, confessing her sins to him. I'm in the same bed confessing my sins to him. And then we go to an ACTS, we go to T, thanks. We give God thanksgiving. And then we end our time of prayer in supplication for you, for the body, for friends, for neighbors. That takes us really a half an hour. And that's a half hour's time.
And not everybody may have that liberty. You may be up at 5 a.m. and you're both running in different directions. So once again, I think we covered that before, just about making that time, figuring out together as a couple when you are going to do it. Because, you know, if you don't have a plan, it'll just be kind of crazy. And same thing with your Bible reading. That's why the one-year Bible is so good, because so many people are like, I don't know what to read. And, you know, they just kind of open their Bible and they have no plan. So it just kind of falls to the wayside. So I think it's important that as a couple, you sit down and decide when is it going to work out best for the two of you to be together, even if it's 5 minutes.
Yeah. And you
praying,
guys,
reading, a devotion, something
you
together.
You need to know this too. You need to know this. There are times when... whatever's happening that day, and it doesn't happen, I'll just say, I gotta go. And I'll give you a great example. Sunday mornings, she gets up, I think at 6:30 in the morning. I'm leaving for church at 6:30, 6:40. And so there's times I'll just say, listen, I gotta go. Look, we've been doing this for 25 years. She knows I'm leaving. But it doesn't say, well, aren't you gonna pray for me today? She doesn't even go there. She'll say, Lord, bless him, fill him with your spirit. I mean, I'm like, I'm leaving. And she's going, Lord, bless him, fill him with your Holy Spirit, anoint today. And in Jesus' name, amen. Look, there's days like that happens. Okay? So please, don't get into something like, Lisa, you know, we didn't pray. today. So, you know, you're probably going to hell or something.
You just reminded me. Wait, you just reminded me of something. I had a friend many, many years ago. Her husband cheated on her. She had a really hard time accepting him back. But after many months, she did. And she told me she was really having a hard time accepting him back, even though he was in the home. But in the morning when he would leave, I've never heard of this, anybody doing this, but I thought, that's pretty amazing. He had to leave very early in the morning, so she's dead asleep. He would literally get on top, lay on top of her body and covered her and prayed for her.
Wow.
And he's as a covering. And it bugged her at first because she didn't want to be touched by him, basically.
Do I know you?
But it was like this, you know, you're in my space thing. But the more she, you know, he did that every single day because he was trying to prove to her, I failed you, but I'm your covering. I'm there for you. And even though she was half asleep, he still did that prayer every morning, and then he would go to work. And their marriage has been phenomenal. Wow. I mean, just phenomenal.
Well, this is a That's good cool. segue, then, this question that comes up next. What are some good ways to encourage your spouse when you see them neglecting their relationship with the Lord? I mean, we all see it in our relationship. You know, sometimes you're not as close to the Lord as you want to be, or you see your spouse. How would you encourage your spouse in her, his or her relationship?
Do you want us to give you the Christian bookstore answer or like our answer?
Why don't you give us both?
I think the Christian bookstore answer would be something like, jump in here, but something like leave little reminders out with a chocolate or something. I don't know.
What's the real answer?
Because that's not how we work.
What's the real answer?
Lisa would say to me, hey, you know, you're either having your devotional time somewhere else or you're slacking off. I mean, she'll just flat out say it. I'll say to her, you know what? What's going on? I mean, rather than the word encouragement, I mean, somebody asked this question. I want to honor your question. But you know what? Let's not forget that we are not only husband and wife, but we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And that means there's times when we need to be exhorted by one another and maybe even rebuked by one another.
But you don't want to start an argument, so it could be if they're, and you certainly don't want to wait too long before months or a year goes by, and now you're not praying together, they're not reading, you know it, and things are going south really quick. You certainly don't want to wait either. I mean, immediately, if I felt that, oh my gosh, maybe I'm seeing a behavior, or irritable,
pattern,
or whatever,
pattern,
and you're not seeing them in the Word, you're always too busy to pray, whatever, then immediately go to prayer. The first line of attack would be to begin to pray for your spouse, that God would deal with them, that you wouldn't have to say anything at first, you know? So give that opportunity for the Lord, and then maybe it might be, hey, could we read this tonight together? Or, gosh, it's been a long time. I really miss our time together. You know, maybe a little more encouraging at first, you know, before the sword, the rebuke, whatever.
I just leave my Bible open on the table.
There you go.
Just leave it open right
looks
there.
Good.
It looks really good.
Change the pages from every
Yeah, every once in a while.
Wasn't that amazing what we read? Yes, dear, it was.
It's so deep, I'm still thinking about it.
Let me get back to you on that one.
Yeah.
All right, let's get practical. How do we deal with money? I'm a Christian. My husband, Brian, isn't. Should I tithe even if he doesn't want me to? Ooh, that's a good question.
Wow. So, man, you know what? Okay, answer number one. Even though you're married to a non-believer, you are still to be under the God-ordained authority of that husband of yours. And if he tells you not to tithe, I, number one, would say, Lord, you're going to have to deal with him. You know my heart. You'll have to deal with him. So, Lord, I'm going to tithe to you time. I'm going to tithe to you talent. I'm going to tithe to you effort. I'm going to tithe to you. You can find something to tithe. Remember, God doesn't need your money. We actually need to get away from our money because we get goofy with it. God doesn't need it. We give money to the Lord, and one of the reasons is probably to help ourselves. So that's one way to approach it. And I would consider that. It may be that you have the ability, like the Proverbs 31 woman. I know it's not exactly apples to apples here. But the Proverbs 31 woman, let's say you're generating your own income from your, I don't know, if you're doing Etsy or eBay stuff or you're selling stuff or you're whatever, or you've got your own side business. And, I would say, look, I just want to let you know this. I'm going to be giving 5, 10, 15% or 199%, whatever it is, to the Lord. It's my business, and I feel you have a problem with that. If he says, no, it's your business, whatever. But I actually would honor the fact that he is your husband. Yeah, but he's not a non-believer. Well, listen, I would honor God by honoring him. And it may be that by your disciplined conduct and by your love for him and respect for him, you might win him to Christ. That's my answer. Lisa?
I think that's good. I would just add to that, we're assuming you have asked him. Ask him. He might say, yeah, you can give $10 a week. Well, then you joyfully give $10 a week, you know? Just ask him. And maybe you already have, and he said, absolutely not. The other thing I was thinking about was, well, what's something you do maybe every week or something that you love to do? Maybe it's you go out for coffee. So maybe you're not going to do that. Maybe that's the only thing you've got that you can give, just like the widow's mite. That was the only thing she had. It may seem little. It might be, it's only $3. $3 given joyfully. The Lord knows your heart. He knows your situation. So those are just ideas. Just seek the Lord and see what he'd have you do.
How many of you have ever heard tithe your time, tithe your talents? Because quite frankly, I've known you guys for a long time. That was brilliant. When you come up with that answer, I went, pretty good.
Yeah.
Am I the only one I hear that thought that? I thought that was pretty good. Here's another one dealing with money. Is it okay that one keeps a stash to themselves? I don't know what you're talking about. Or one spends without the other's knowledge and lies about it.
Oh.
Ooh. Do you know I've run into that twice in this last month? Twice.
Yeah,
two friends of mine found their wives lying about money to them.
Wow.
That's not good. Stash. When you talk about a stash, we have to address this. Because Lisa knows I'm a stasher. I have this little envelope and I just put stuff in it all the time. And it's labeled vacation account. And I've been putting stuff in that envelope for about...
Forever.
For about 35 years.
Because we couldn't afford vacation, right, when we were younger. And he can't live without one. So it had to happen. So he would...
So I've been putting, I've had that envelope for like 35 years, and so we're going to be buying a home in Newport next week. So. No, but it's kind of cool because she'll say, you know what, you know, we need to take a break, and maybe we could go, you know, to San Diego or even to Hawaii, but I don't know, and I get to go. You know what? It's covered. How long do you want to stay? When do you want to go? Yeah. It's covered. Now, she knows that he's going to go to his envelope. For me, I have to confess in light of that question. I have a stash, but she knows all about my stash.
Yeah. Obviously, the person asking the question is saying, is it okay to have a secret stash?
I don't like the secret stuff.
It's probably not a good idea to have a secret.
You shouldn't have a secret.
How can you trust somebody
with
secrets?
How can you have a secret if you're one flesh? How are you having secrets with your own self?
Should you have separate bank accounts, or should you combine them?
Combine them.
Another question.
Do you sleep in separate beds?
Yeah. Separate houses,
Well, what part of the body of his is yours? What part of the body of hers is yours? Are you kidding me?
I don't find anything good. I've never heard anything good coming out of separate. It always causes problems. I've never heard a good reason to keep it separate. Now, someone could say, which I have heard, but my husband and my wife, whatever, spends. So they have a spending problem. So that's why they've kept it separate. Maybe it's good to take one of the courses or classes
on Crown Financial.
Dave Ramsey. Learn how to handle money versus trying to control a situation, which is really hard to do.
Another question came up. Who should manage the finances?
Wow.
Seriously,
that's a great question for us.
Really? Who's ever best?
I got to tell you, man, this is really personal. I don't know how much time we have. How personal should we be?
Go ahead.
Oh, of course, at my expense. Sure. Look, when I met her, my dad had raised us boys to pay all of our bills on the 15th of the month, 15 days ahead of the day the bill being due. We were never late. Ever. My dad taught us never be late on a bill, ever. So then we get married and we're busy. The problem is now, listen, both of us are babies. We're babies of the family,
in the birth order.
So when I came home from school and threw my underwear in the ceiling fan, my mom would pick it up because I'm a baby. You know, so, and then when she would come home, you know, somebody would pick up her clothes.
Not well, so sort much, of, kind of. Not really.
So then, so meaning this, that both of us, we could have had a meltdown because I had this thing about we have to pay our bills on the 15th, 15 days before they're due. And Lisa's more of the person where, well, you know what, it's okay, it's okay. But what turned out for us, and you guys, this didn't happen overnight. This was an evolution within our home. Where she's very, very, she reads very fast. She can do things very fast. I do things very slow. That might surprise you, but think how long Sunday sermons are. I do things very slow. So for me, it worked out awesome for her to do our bills and to do a lot of our books that way, okay? But for me, I'm more of the saving freak. Or I see something where, gosh, we can do this, because I like this kind of stuff. She really likes the nuts and bolts of the finances, and I like it more as a game, where, you know what, this thing, I'm gonna need this thing in 3 months. I don't need it now, but I'm gonna need it in 3 months. It's 50% off, but I don't wanna pay cash for it. So I have a credit card. I'm gonna get miles for my credit card use. That's free miles in the bank for the airplane for our next vacation. I'm gonna save money by getting this if I buy it now, and I'll just put it in the garage and wait. I love that kind of thinking. I love that kind of opportunity. We're both very different. I cannot do what she does. She doesn't do what I do. It works perfect for us. It took us years.
So the simple answer to that is, I would say who's ever best at doing that. If you're both like doing it together, then do it together. That's beautiful. Because then you both know, because what did happen when I did stay home is that we lived on a very, very limited income when I was staying home with our kids when they were little. We had nothing. So I'm like, oh. So it was a lot of pressure. But he wasn't aware sometimes. And then he'd say, well, let's go do this. And I'd be like, no, I don't know. So I think it's very good if you can do it together. But if one is much better at saving or is more better on time with the bills and that kind of a thing.
Being a team.
Yeah. So I don't think it has to say, well, it has to be the man who pays the bills. I mean, I wouldn't say that because he may be the one who's not good at it or who spends or who's late.
But you should be communicating about it.
And it could be a combination of one steps up to the plate and one has a little humility.
Sure. Right.
When my wife and I first got married, I tried to do all the numbers. And now we're at the point of, she says, here, sign this. Okay, great, I signed
it. Exactly.
I know that she makes it
right.
Work.
Whatever.
I think.
That's right. She has a stash. No.
My husband acts like he's never wrong. He never apologizes. Mm. How can I forgive him?
Well.
Who asked that? Just kidding.
Listen, quickly, you have to forgive him because forgiveness was given to you by God to set you free, not him. You understand that? I don't know where we got this cockeyed view of forgiveness. So change your thinking right now about that. Number two is, the one who's closer to Jesus will be the one who says they're sorry and mean it. I mean, I'm talking about meaning it. The person who's closest to Jesus will be the one who will say they're sorry. Because they don't want to disrupt their walk with God. That sounds very simple, right? But it's a fact.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Questions and Answers with Jack and Lisa, Part 2. Thanks for listening to today's program. And with any problem, of course, that arises in marriage and in life for that matter, we are to seek God's wisdom and extend grace in all that we do. Today's interview was just one in a series called Real Marriage, a series that looks at how God has a plan for marriage and how His plan works, and will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Did you know that you can get the entire DVD set of the Real Marriage series for a gift of any amount to this ministry? The Real Marriage DVD set is a collection of discussion-based programs to help provide a solid foundation for a healthy, God-honoring marriage. Get yours today by getting a hold of us through our website. Here's the web address, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.